Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When it comes to pensions, performance counts. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
With just over 2 weeks to go and with both candidates neck and neck in the race for the White House, Donald Trump and Kamala Harris have been campaigning in key swing states today. I'm joined by Katrina Perry, who's chief presenter with BBC News based in Washington, and by John Nichols, who's Washington correspondent with The Nation. You're both very welcome to the programme, and we're on the final furlong of this race and it's hotting up. But before I ask you about the presidential campaign, Katrina, can I ask you about some breaking news from the US this evening? The former boss of fashion giant Abercrombie & Fitch and his British partner have been arrested and are facing sex trafficking charges. What more can you tell us?
Yeah, that's right, Cormac. The former CEO, Mike Jeffries of Abercrombie & Fitch, and his British partner, Matthew Smith, and a third man, Jim Jacobson, were all arrested this morning. This comes on the back of a BBC investigation around about this time last year that revealed claims that Mike Jeffries and his partner sexually exploited and abused men at events in their New York homes and at hotels around the world. And the FBI said today it was on the back of this investigation. They then launched their own investigation in January, and that's culminated in these charges today. And we have to say lawyers for Jeffries and Smith have both previously denied any wrongdoing. We haven't heard from them yet today, but the US prosecutors have just held a press conference in the last hour or so, laying out the details of the allegations about these three men. They said that Jeffries used his wealth and power to take advantage of vulnerable young men, offering them dreams of a modelling career and then transporting them to various locations to abuse them sexually. Now, the number of victims isn't known, and prosecutors said the investigation is still open, but the indictment, the legal document that has been filed, mentions at least 15 individuals, and the US attorneys have said they have substantial evidence against these three men.
Well, that is very significant news in that story, all right. Let's go and talk about the US presidential election now. John Nichols, I'll come to you first on this, because it's really, really hotting up now, this race, isn't it? They know they're on the final straight, and they're battling the swing states with all the might and resources they have, John. We'll try and get John. Can you hear me, John Nichols?
Yes, I can. I apologize. I'm out in front of a huge rally in Madison, Wisconsin, with former President Obama and Governor Walz. This is the launch of what's called early voting. And in many of the states in the U.S., you can vote up to 2 weeks early. Wisconsin is starting today, exactly 2 weeks out. And to give you a sense of how intense this race is, how passionate it is, they are literally dispatching their top people, former President of the United States, to go out and ask young people to go cast their ballot early. So it gives you a sense of kind of the dynamic of the whole thing. It is very intense. They're all now, these campaigns are up to working 20-hour days because the fact of the matter is that the polling suggests that this is still an incredibly close race that could come down to a handful of votes in states like Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Ohio, etc.
My goodness. So you're in the thick of it there, and we hear the crowds behind you or who you were addressing.
They are here,
John. I'll go back to Katrina Perry for a second, because it's pedal to the metal stuff, isn't it? Donald Trump has held a roundtable discussion with Latino leaders in Florida, and Kamala Harris is going to sit down with NBC Nightly News this evening, and this is part of a plethora of news interviews she's doing. How much can she gain from an interview like that on NBC, do you think?
Well, Cormac, this is no longer about a battle for hearts and minds of voters. It's about a battle for feet and hands, getting people into the ballot stations and getting them to fill out their mail-in ballots and send them off early. And I don't think there are any undecided voters left in America at this point. They've heard so much from both candidates, but it is about people who are undecided whether to go and vote or not. I'm just back from Arizona a couple of days ago, which, you know, is a battleground state just recently, voted for Joe Biden by a margin of just 10,000 votes 4 years ago out of 3.2 million votes that were cast. But all of the Latino voters I met there told me they were going to vote for Donald Trump. Not a scientific poll, just the people I was speaking to. But traditionally, that Latino community are kind of a stronghold for the Democratic Party. So we're seeing a really heavy push, particularly for Latino men. Kamala Harris today, in addition to doing that NBC interview, will also do an interview on Univision, which is the Spanish language network. And she's also unveiling a document called her Opportunity Agenda for Latino Men. So a big push from both camps to get these people out to vote and to get them to vote for them.
John, Kamala Harris has been campaigning with former Congresswoman and lifelong Republican Liz Cheney, who's endorsed her for president, as we know. How significant is that, or will that be in the final days, you think?
Well, it's all part of the puzzle, right? Harris and her campaign looked at the reality that in the Republican primaries, though Donald Trump was almost certainly going to be the nominee, Nikki Haley, the former governor of South Carolina, former ambassador to the United Nations, did really, really well. In many states, she was getting 30-40% of the vote. She piled up roughly 4 million votes in the primaries. And what the Harris people believe is if they can get a portion of the Republicans who simply do not like Donald Trump to come over and actually vote Democratic, that's going to be critical in a bunch of these battleground states, especially states like Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona, as was mentioned, North Carolina. And so they're out with Cheney. It's a risk because the Cheneys have never been at all popular with the Democrats. And so what you see with Harris is an effort to kind of triangulate a lot of things, to mobilize her progressive base, to reach out, as has been mentioned, to Latino and black men and others who she needs to get a big turnout from, but also to take this risk that you can get a substantial portion of Republicans, probably suburban women, to cross over, maybe in some cases for the first time in their lives, and vote Democratic. And Harris has invested a lot of energy in that. Cheney, who absolutely disagrees with Harris on most issues, has also invested a lot of energy in it. And their basic message is, look, democracy is at stake. Donald Trump, to their view, is an autocrat. And so people have to put aside all of their ideology, all of their partisanship, and cast a ballot.
And
somebody they usually wouldn't vote for.
This is pulling out all the stop stuff. This, when you have a lifelong Republican canvassing and campaigning for the Democrat nominee. The other stuff that's going on, Katrina, is you have the world's richest man in Elon Musk, who's promised to give away $1 million a day. It's like something from a movie, until the US election day, to someone who signs his online petition. I know Democrats are extremely concerned about this. What is the petition? What's he proposing exactly?
Well, he's proposing to give out $1 million every day to voters in swing states who are registered to vote and who sign this petition saying that they will support Donald Trump. Now, the key distinction, Elon Musk says, is that he's not giving people this money to vote for Donald Trump, but just to kind of pledge their support for him and in support of the First and Second Amendments of the Constitution, guaranteeing freedom of speech and also the right to bear arms. Now, this has raised tremendous ire from Democrats, but also from legal scholars on this, who say that it is a violation of federal law, that you can't offer money to people in connection with voting or anything to do with that. And they've also said that anyone who accepts the money potentially is in breach of federal law as well. So it's very serious. But as I say, Elon Musk saying he's asking people just to pledge support rather than vote for cash.
But hang on a second. It shows how much off the rails the electoral process has gone in the US in one way. Given how tight the margins are, Katrina, is there anyone on the Democrat side, even privately, talking about launching a judicial campaign or a legal challenge to the result, if it is Donald Trump, based on stuff like this from Elon Musk?
Well, you have to remember, there's a lot of power at stake here, right? So the prize is very big for either party and for either individual. And the margins will be very tight. And they often are in many races, not just at presidential level, but for, you know, congressional races, for even local state level races. And it's not unusual for both parties to have teams of lawyers and to take challenges to the outcome based on close margins of votes, based on what they've seen happening in the campaign. So that is very normal for American politics in many ways. So, I mean, I think, you know, all of us journalists anyway are definitely gearing up for this to be quite a long, drawn out result, if you want to call it that, mm-hmm. and that we may not have the result for a while. And there may be challenges from both sides.
Can I talk to you, John, about the PR campaign, the razzmatazz of an election and the energy that that brings? Because on the one hand, despite the fact that he's a convict and known to be a liar and a misogynist, amongst other things, he's more entertaining, you could argue, for the average American, Donald Trump, as opposed to Kamala Harris, who's dry, a lawyer, a legislator, who talks about stability in the White House.
Yeah, look, there's a real difference between these candidates. America has a choice. And, you know, in a sense, that's what politics is supposed to be. To give you a sense of the PR, of the theater, as I'm sure many of your listeners know, on Sunday, Donald Trump did a very short shift at a McDonald's, frying French fries and then handing them out from the window to people, his supporters, driving up to pick up French fries. And the images of Donald Trump wearing his fry cook apron and leaning out the window with bags of French fries was something that I think Democrats immediately said, oh, that's just horrible theater. It's stupid, blah, blah, blah. They criticized all over the place. But you know what? It was something everybody saw mm-hmm. and everybody paid attention to. And so that is the interesting thing about this final dynamic of the campaign. I think you are going to see a lot of effort by the candidates who have already, by the way, spent hundreds of millions of dollars on paid television ads to try and do all sorts of things that we refer to as free media, i.e. do things that are so compelling, so striking that people it gets on the news, that people pay deep attention to it. Watch the Harris campaign. I know that you're suggesting that, correctly, I think, that she's a more serious player, that she tends to talk more about policy and things of that nature. Watching these final 2 weeks, the word is that they have a plan for almost daily events that will feature some of the most prominent people in America, not necessarily political people, mm-hmm. but folks that everybody knows. Dare I say, and I'm not saying I don't know this, I'm just suggesting possibly some of her supporters like Beyonce or Taylor Swift doing major events, perhaps with the candidate. But at the very least, just a lot aimed at getting attention. And the key to this is that there is an assumption that there's a substantial portion of people in America who probably won't vote early, but could, in the final exciting stages of this campaign, be inspired to go and stand in line at a polling place and cast a ballot.
Okay, there's one answer left, right? And it's one word from each of you. Trump, Harris, or don't know, too close to call is the answer. Who's going to win in 2 weeks, Katrina?
It's too close to call, but possibly Trump has the edge. Okay. But I think only a fool parts with their money on this at this time.
John?
I'm not going to be a fool and put money on it, but I'll tell you that I think that the structural stuff tends to favor Harris. Remember, the Democrats, since the Dobbs decision, which overturned our abortion laws in the U.S., have done better than expected in election after election. And my sense is that at the end of the day, is a not often discussed factor that will probably tip it to Harris.
We're dancing on the head of a pen here. Nobody really knows. You're very brave, both of you.
No one knows.
Katrina Perry from BBC News based in Washington and John Nichols, Washington correspondent with The Nation. Thank you very much indeed.